We approach the Word of God. Let us pray. You put your Word in our hands. You write your words upon our hearts. You give us the direction that we need as your people. So come to us now by the presence and the power of your Holy Spirit. Open our eyes, open our hearts, open our minds, open our lives, that your word may come in. For we ask it in Christ's name. Amen. Three readings from the book of the Old Testament in Daniel, and then the book of Revelation, and the gospel according to John. Reading first of all from Daniel chapter 7, beginning at verse 1 and reading at 9 and going through 14, excuse me. Daniel's reading and seeing the things that God says to him and gets a vision from God. Here begins the reading of God's holy word. As I looked, the thrones were set in place, and the Ancient of Days took his seat. His clothing was white as snow. The hair of his head was white like wool. His throne was flaming with fire, and its wheels were all ablaze. A river of fire was flowing, coming out before him. Thousands upon thousands attended him. 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The court was seated, and the books were opened. Then I continued to watch because of the boastful words of the horn was speaking. I kept looking until the beast was slain and its body was destroyed and thrown into a blazing fire. The other beasts had been stripped of their authority but were allowed to live for a period of time. In my vision at night I looked, and there before me was one like a son of man coming with the clouds of heaven. He approached the Ancient of Days and was led into his presence. He was given authority and sovereign power. All peoples, nations, and men of every language worshiped him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that will not pass away, and his kingdom is one that will never be destroyed. Turning now to the book of Revelation, reading from Revelation chapter 1, beginning our reading at the first verse. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants what must soon take place. He made it known by sending his angel to his servant John, who testifies to everything he saw. This is the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. Blessed is the one who reads the words of prophecy, and blessed are those who hear it and take to heart what is written in it, because the time is near. John, to the seven churches in the province of Asia, grace and peace to you from him who is, who was, and who is to come, and from the seven spirits before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. To him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood, and has made us to be a kingdom and priests to serve his God and Father, to him be glory and power forever and ever. Amen. Look, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him, and all of the peoples of the earth will mourn because of him. So shall it be. Amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. And lastly, from the Gospel according to St. John, reading from the 18th chapter of John's writing, as we begin at verse 33. Pilate then went back inside the palace and summoned Jesus and asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" "Is that your own idea?" Jesus asked him, "or did others talk to you about me?" "Am I a Jew?" Pilate replied. "As your people and your chief priest who handed you over to me, what is it you have done?" Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jews. But now my kingdom is from another place." "You are a king then," said Pilate. Jesus answered, "You are right in saying that I am a king. In fact, for this reason I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me." "What is truth?" Pilate asked. Then he went out again to the Jews and said, "I find no basis for your charge against him, but it is your custom for me to release to you one prisoner at the time of the Passover. Do you want me to release the King of the Jews?" So far the reading of God's holy word. May it be honored in our lives as we see God working in our lives, as we find the love of God in his word and in his Son. Let us pray. To read your word, Father, is an easy thing to do. To begin to apply it to our lives becomes more difficult. And yet we ask that we will be blessed by your Spirit, that the words that we have read come alive in our lives, and we see what you are setting before us, that we may honor you. For we do it in Christ's name. Amen. Today is a special day. We celebrate the reign of Christ, or we celebrate Christ the King Sunday. I chose to choose Christ the King. And I want to concentrate on the kingship of Christ to get us ready for the coming season called Advent. It's a time of preparation in our lives as we begin to somehow formulate things in our lives which allow us to see Christ coming in humanity and coming as our Savior and as our Lord. We need to see what we do in the preparations in Advent is not just getting ready for a baby. It is not just going to Bethlehem to the stable. It is not all of the hoopla that we put in Christmas in the things that we do as somehow we celebrate Christmas. We go to Bethlehem to honor him, to get ready to welcome him, to see and to realize that the King is coming and that our call is to get ready for the King. What about the King? He pre-exists. The King that you worship in Bethlehem in that manger is a king who sat beside God, who is equal with God. He is pre-existence in all of the things that are part of the universe. He communes with God as God creates heaven and earth. And then God says, "How shall we make man?" And he answers back, "Make him in our image." Jesus was there when the creation was being formed. Jesus was there in time and in space. And that is your King as you begin to know him. When you go to Bethlehem, you can never take out of your mind what you fashion in your mind, as this is the one who sits in heaven beside God himself. All of our existence, all of our time is given to us by God. And the one that we worship in Bethlehem is the one who is willing to leave that throne, the throne in heaven, to become a baby. To be born just like you and me, to redeem us because God loves us. God loves you and God loves me. He loves the whole world. And he comes into the world, as Jesus says to Pilate, to formulate the kingdom of God. And that kingdom is not of this world. The one that we worship in Bethlehem is the Christ child, but the one who is in Bethlehem is also the Christ of heaven. The Christ of all time and the Christ of eternity, who comes into the world to bring salvation to you and to me and to our world, to take upon himself the fashion of our salvation by taking upon himself flesh and blood, to walk where we walk, to know what we know, to be just like us except for sin, to live and to die like we will live and die. He knows us because he is one of us. And the wonderful part about Christmas, we oftentimes forget or we miss. This is the incarnation. This is God fusing himself into our lives in the birth of that baby in Bethlehem. This is the living Christ from heaven, born of the Virgin Mary, and coming into the world to offer us our salvation. That's your first King. Do not lose that King in your celebration of Christmas. This is not just a baby. This is the Son of God. This is the Christ who is willing to leave heaven to redeem you and to redeem me and to redeem our whole world. But he is also the King of the manger. He is the king of the manger in this thing called the incarnation. God taking upon himself our flesh, our bone, and our blood, being one of us, born and incarnated into the world so that the perfect match of his life can take away our sins. The one who knows no sin becomes sin for you and me. And that is the incarnation, and that's the second king you will find when you come to Bethlehem. The message of the angel to Mary and Joseph is concentrated upon the greatest act that God ever performed, not creation of the world, but the incarnation of his own son. And that incarnation is there in the Holy Spirit, who comes to Mary and says to her, "You will conceive and bear a son." "How can this be? I have never known a man." "You will conceive and bear a son because the Holy Spirit will come upon you and you will give birth to a child. And you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." The message of Christmas is heralded by the angels in heaven. All honor and glory to this child who's now born in Bethlehem. And the wonder of Bethlehem lies in a manger. Now God becomes one of us. And the story that comes to the shepherds is the same story that God gives to you and me at Christmas time. As we go to the stable and behold with our own eyes the gift of the child, whose name is Jesus Christ. It is the Magi who come into his life later, and they prepare for a king, way before they ever leave the Persian area. They are preparing for a king, and they bring the gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh to honor a child. No, to honor a king, whose name is Jesus Christ. And they come to honor him and to give him the adoration and the praise that they will see manifested in his life as he comes into the world to perform the miracle of love in the ministry that he lives out upon this earth. When you go to Bethlehem, you will see the child, but that is no ordinary child. That is your king. That is the same king who left heaven. That is the same king who comes to redeem you. That child in the manger is the one that the shepherds find and the one that the Magi find to honor him as a king. Two kings. Third king. The king is coming back. The one who comes in the honor of God will come back even though the world will not recognize him, even though the world will not honor and accept him. He promises that he will never leave us in the assurance that we read this morning as we confessed our sins. "I am with you always, even to the end of the age." That promise is the thing that you will find in your third king. You will honor him. You will give him the gifts that you have in your life. You will only see the things that are there that he takes in your life, and you give them to him. But he gives you something in return. He gives you the greatest gift that you will ever receive. He gives you forgiveness. He gives you the gift of eternal life. And he gives you the victory over death and the grave. We are made in his image, and he is made in our image. And he comes to share the victory that he brings into the world with you and with me. The victory of the final enemy that we have to face. It's called death. But we do not face that alone. We are walking with him as we walk through the valley of the shadow of death. "I will be with you always," he says, "even to the end of the age." And when the end of the age will come, he will come back. He will come back not as a baby. He will come back as a king. He will come back as a king who comes into the world to judge the world. And as he judges the world, he fulfills the promise that he gives to us in the beginning of it all. That when he comes to judge the earth and the sea shall give up their dead, and the corruptible bodies of those who sleep in him shall be changed and shall be made like unto his glorious body. And he will abide with us forever, and we will abide with him. The promise will come to light that he judges the earth, but he comes as a king, showing us that he is one who is in control. Nobody in this world is more controllable than Jesus Christ. And everyone in this world is controlled by Jesus Christ. Whether we know it or not, or whether we accept it or not, God is there working in Christ to redeem us. We will be changed, and we will meet our King in the sky, and everyone shall see him, and every knee shall bow in heaven and on the earth. You have three kings. When you celebrate Christmas, don't just celebrate one, celebrate all three. The King of heaven who leaves the throne to redeem you. The King of the Incarnation, born in a stable in Bethlehem, because he is of the lineage and the house of David. He is born a king in his lineage. He is born a king as he leaves heaven. So you have the first king from heaven, the second in the Incarnation, and the third in the promise that he will be back again. When he comes this time, not as a baby, the earth will see him. Every knee will bow. They will realize who the king is. And they will realize what the King is all about. So that's what you and I are going to be doing as we celebrate, as we get ready in the season of Advent, to honor him as a coming as one of those three kings and all of those three kings, who is willing to become one of us, except without sin, in order to redeem us and give us the promise of God's love. It's called Advent. It moves towards Christmas. Welcome your King. But don't just welcome him. Honor him. Happy Advent. Merry Christmas. Get ready. The King is coming. Let us pray. We honor you as the King of heaven, as the King of the manger, as the king that we're waiting for. Honor us by allowing us to be a part of your kingdom. We come to give you honor and praise, to serve you, and to accept what you have given to us as your children and as your people. We honor you, King of kings and Lords of lords. Amen. We set before God our tithes and our offerings as we honor God.